Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. Good morning. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank God he woke us up again. We see this day so far. And we should all be grateful and thankful that God has given us this another day, an opportunity for us to be right with him, you know, to serve him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Brother Andrew is doing a wonderful job leading us in songs. Good to see our young adults actively participating in the worship of the Lord. Isn't that good to see?
Amen.
Young men. Amen. Got a lot of young adults in marriage counseling now, premarital counseling. Got some we celebrated yesterday, brother and sister Gam. Amen. Some of them are married now. So some of the other young adults are, amen, you need to be thinking about what's honorable in the eyesight of God, and that is marriage is honorable. It helps you to stabilize your lives, amen, and to live for the Lord. So it's good to see our young adults doing a lot of great things. You got the young adult ministry putting on a lectureship. That's a wonderful thing, wonderful thing, wonderful thing. If you're here today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're my very honored guest. And we love you. We want you to be a member of the Lord's church. He bled on the cross for you, shed the blood. That blood purchased the only church you read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. It's the only one you're going to find in there. The Bible says to save the in the church. And if there's only one church, to save the in that one church. And there's only one Savior, that's Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on the cross. And his Father gave him for the world. And you should believe that. He was crucified. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We can do that this morning. Amen. We can baptize you right now. Amen. This morning. Won't be no 2 weeks from now. Won't be when we got more people to see it. It'll be at the moment you decide you want to be saved. We'll baptize you and carry out the command to be saved. Amen. Turn your Bible, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Got a busy day today. And so we got John 13, been a great study for me. I do book studies, so book studies are very much a blessing. If you want to really learn, just keep reading ahead of me, and you'll learn more than just coming to listen. If you would just read the scripture, and then I'll explain them. And verse 31 is where we're picking up. We're about to finish up chapter 13 today, and we'll start at 14 next week, if the Lord say the same. Therefore,
when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him."
He's gone out. Talking about Judas. We just talked about Judas last week. The great satanic crime has been set up. And that Judas is carrying out that crime. And he'll kiss him. It will be the kiss of death. And the Bible says, John records that it was after Judas left that Jesus would teach the last lesson. It was after Judas left, after the devil was out of the scene, which is a lesson for us. In James chapter 4 and the verses number 7, the Bible teaches us there, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, the enemy is out to ruin. He's the adversary. The devil has a presence. The devil will have his seat in the congregation. The devil will have his seat in your marriage. He'll have his seat in relationship. He will have his seat, boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, church relationship, brother sister relationship. The devil has a presence. He's a spiritual being. The devil is real. He's not this guy with a long tail and a pitchfork. The devil is real. The devil had entered into Judas, meaning that the devil was influencing Judas to carry out the satanic crime of killing the master, Jesus the Christ, on the cross. In the brothers' meeting, Satan will be there. He'll be present. Amen. And understand when the devil is present in any meeting, in any sister gathering, in any family relationship, any family fellowship, retreats, amen, reunions, The devil has a presence. But understand, when you remain spiritual, the devil can't touch you. That's why it's important that we remain spiritual, so that the devil will flee. Once the devil got out of the scene, then God could be glorified. Jesus could be glorified. God would be glorified. In the hour of the crowning of Jesus, the cross was his crown. He would be crowned on the cross. The glory that would be brought to the world would be through Jesus Christ. And he's choosing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would choose the cross. He would choose to die. And because he chose to die, he will be glorified. He'd be lifted up and he'll be glorified. And being glorified, he will bring glory to his Father by obedience to his Father. But God so loved the world that so loved there is the glory of God, is that God has so loved like no other. God has loved the world in that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 5 and the verses number 6. Go ahead and get that. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength,
in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Here is the glory. God, Christ was dying for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely,
for a righteous man would one die.
He said, you very seldom see a man die for somebody else. And then he says,
Yet, for a good man, some would even dare to die.
But God did something others didn't do, that others won't do. Very few will do what God has done. But God commended his love toward us, that while
we were yet sinners,
Christ died on the cross. The glory. When we were sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sin. Much more then,
being justified by his blood,
we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God
by the death of his Son.
By the death of his Son. This is why it brought glory to God. And the Bible says in Titus 2, in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for that glorious appearing. And so the world is apparent. It's apparent when he was on the cross. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. It was apparent. It appeared to all men. It was the glory of God. The glory, the light shined in darkness at 12 noon. The S-O-N was shining. The glory of God shined to the world. It was apparent to all men, teaching us when he hung on the cross, he was teaching us that we got to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should, from the cross, he was teaching that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So what are you saying? What are you saying? When the devil left, Jesus' glory was able to be carried out because it be the kiss of death by Judas that would send him to the cross. But because he chose to go. And on that cross, he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, my God. Why, that was saying God the Father was leaving him there to bring glory to the world. His Son would have to hang and shine as a light of the world. And that Father then would back off, allow the death to take place. But glory comes upon the resurrection when God himself raised him up from the dead. And every knee will bow. And every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself.
And shall straightway glorify him. Because
he was God on the cross. He was the Son of Man in the physical. He was Son of God in the physical. He was God in the physical. And so the physical had to die. And the spiritual resurrected. So the Son of Man died on the cross. Amen. The Son of God got up. What he's saying, Brother Brooks, he had to go into the physical. He had to go into a physical death, which God had never done. He had to be the Son of Man is the one who had the physical death. The Son of God was in him. And that because he was in him, when they buried him in the tomb, he resurrected the spiritual man of God. The Son of God got up by his Father. He got up from the grave. Because he got up, we can live today. Because he lived, we can face tomorrow, because God got him up. I'm so grateful, aren't you?
Amen.
Not only has his decision glorified the Son of God, Son of Man, but it glorified God himself, that God would do such an act, such love, so such love as he no other has ever done. God so loved in that way that he will watch his child be beaten in travail of his soul. According to Isaiah 53, he will see, it will take the travail of his soul, the pain that he went through, satisfied the Father, because I had to have a lamb to die before glory could be brought. Always through the law, he had to have a lamb. That's why John, when Jesus came, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world." On the day that he died, on the day of Pentecost, right at 6 o'clock, it was the screaming of the lamb, but it was the silence of the lamb that brought salvation. And when he said, "It is finished," it was the silence of the lamb that was evident that God had been glorified. The earth quaked. People got out the grave, walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Evidence was everywhere. The soldiers said, "Truly, truly this was the Son of God." It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. Jesus was saying, it will be glorified. I'm only a few hours away from glory. And that he will be on his way to Golgotha. He will walk the Via Dolorosa, the winding streets of Jerusalem, where he'd carry his cross to glory. And on that cross, it will be a song written on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. That's where glory will be recognized, on the cross. In verse 33, he said, "Little children,
yet a little while I am with you."
Now this is Jesus, the devil is out now. And Jesus, the first time he's ever said, called these grown men little children. John writes in his letters later on, many times he said little children. But the master had never told them, called them little children. But there was a time when there was a little boy, a little child. And Jesus says to them, "Bring me the child." And he said, "Except you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Russell, there's a lesson there, that pride will keep you out of heaven. Pride will keep us out, y'all. It takes humility. These men are listening to him call them little children because they are now at a point where he know they are humbled to the point that he needed them to be. It was Peter who he said to, "You can't wash my feet." And he told Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have no part with me. Because Jesus was teaching humility in John 13. And he took a towel and put it on his waist. And he washed those men dirty feet. And they knew that the lowest servant in the house would be the foot washer. And now they're at a state of their ministry where Jesus is ready to teach them the lesson. But it required them humbling themselves to receive the message he had for them. He said, "I'm going to be gone. A little while, I'm with you." Now you got to be in the room. One has betrayed him. One of the 12 that they never thought it would happen. They kept asking, "Who is it? Is it I? And now he gives them this sad news. Little children, expressing his love for him as a mother to a child, he's taking them into the state of mind to receive the bad news. "Now I'm going to be with you for a little while.
You're
going to want to go with me. You want to know where I am. You're going to seek me. And why?
And as I said unto
and
the
I
Jews,
said unto you,
whether I go, you cannot
but
come.
But you can't go where I'm going.
So now I say to you.
Now I'm saying to you.
A new commandment I give unto you.
Go back. Yet for a little while, he says, I am with you. I'm only going to be here a little bit longer. This is the end of his life. His life is near the end. Judas is gone. There's only a few hours left. For they'll start witnessing the brutality, the illegal courts. Peter will deny him 3 times. They'll witness the scourging from a distance. They'll witness carrying of the cross. They'll witness the women wailing and crying as he carries his cross. And he's saying, you're going to want to know. You're going to want to go where I am. But where I go, you cannot come. In other words, it was not their time. It was his time. Some of the Jews would die in their sins. But these men would be left to carry the gospel banner, to wave it to the world. That God so loved the world that he would give his son. And they would wave a blood-stained banner, how Christ died and shed his blood to save the world. They don't fully understand what's going on. In the other accounts, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He said, this is the memorial that you do for me. In that meeting with them, in this sad occasion, he took bread and broke it. He took the cup and said, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament. This you do in remembrance of me. It will be in that room that he will give the command that will be applicable to every Christian, so-called follower of Christ, would be willing to understand the memorial would be to drink the blood and to break the bread. That would be our memorial. And that's why in the churches of Christ, every first day of the week, we break the bread. Because in the saddest occasion with his disciples, he would say to them, this you do to remember me. Then men today have taken away the memorial. They've taken it to a first Sunday memorial. Some have taken it to an everyday memorial. Some have taken it to no memorial. But Jesus was leaving them an example of what to do to keep me in mind, to remember me, remember what I've done, remember the sacrifice, remember the pain, remember the blood, remember the body that was on the cross. And he's leaving them that. And we as Christians must be cross people. We must be cross-eyed. We must never lose sight of blood. We never lose sight of the body that hanged on the cross, mangled and beat, because that's the memorial. He wants us to remember it. Remember the blood. Remember the sacrifice that required to give you the name Christian. In Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, on the first day of the week, the disciples, the followers of Christ, those who would follow him, he said, they broke bread upon the first day of the week. That's why, if you're in a church today, let me say it clearly. If you're in a church that's not carrying on the memorial of Christ, you will not get to heaven. You say, Brother Brooks, we do it once a month. I said, you are not carrying out the command of the memorial. The memorial was done on the day of resurrection. That's when they remembered him. First day of the week became the new day. The new day that they would worship him in spirit and in truth. That's Sunday. The new day that they would give and not tithe. The new day that they would take communion and not sacrifice lambs anymore. The Lamb of God, the blood has been shed, and the blood then must be taken by those who believe. Except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, the Bible says, and drink his blood, you have no, Jesus said, you have no life in me. Except you drink the blood. And to all of us who are members of the church, we understand when you miss the blood, drinking, you're in sin and out of fellowship. Amen. You're in sin and out of fellowship. The only thing that keeps us in fellowship with Jesus is the memorial, the drinking of the blood, the drinking of communion. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. And don't underestimate all acts of worship. When you slide in here 15 and 20 minutes, missing 15, 20 minutes of singing, swinging yourself in psalms and hymns, spirit is on you, missing worship. When you miss giving, you're missing worship. When you make communion, you're missing worship. When you're missing the prayer, you're missing worship. We ought to be more attentive. But it took a death to give us this hour of worship. It took death. It took cruelty. It took betrayal. It took denial. It took shedding of blood. It took a whipping. It took a cross. It took crucifixion. It took pain to give us this opportunity. And shame on us when we come in here 9:20, 9:30, when we know we ought to be in worship him in spirit and in truth. Say amen, Brother Brooks. You don't have to like what I said, but you got to love the Lord. I'm going to prove that here in a minute. You got to love the Lord to go to heaven. And you love your job your own time. You love that check your own time. If you love getting to heaven, you'll learn to put God first on Sunday mornings. Early on Sunday morning, we ought to be up and getting ready to come to worship. Amen. Nothing should stop us from coming to worship. We ought to be on time, prompt, and putting God first. I dare not miss a song. I dare not miss communion. I dare not miss giving. Amen, somebody. Why? Because this is the proof that we love him. The proof that we love him. I said, Brother Brooks, you're fussing. Why not? I should fuss at myself when I'm late. I should fuss at you when you're late. We all ought to do better. Amen. Can we do better? Sure, we can do better. Don't forget when you gave, you're supposed to give right. Amen. Don't forget giving is a part of worship. Amen. You give not grudgingly of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. That's just as important as community. All of it is worship. Amen. And then we should conduct ourselves respectfully in worship. That's why we'll have rhythmic hand clapping and beatboxing in the microphone and making it sound like we're in some club or something. We are in worship in the presence of God. Take your hat off. Pull your pants up, young man, and work your ways. Amen. Take your do-rag off, though. Brother will roll up in here like he's some kind of gangster. So this ain't no street setting, bruh. Pull your pants up and take that do-rag off. Amen, Walls. Now, I wear my do-rag because I'm bald-headed on him. I try to keep little waves in the back, but I don't wear it in worship. It was why you might see Brother roll up with a rag on his head. I try to be kicking it with the homies. You know, you never know. Never mind, I might roll up on one of them young adults or something. They see me with my rag on. They might want to listen. But, you know, one thing about I ain't never went to a doctor's appointment, seen the doctor wearing his do-rag. I just ain't never seen it. I ain't never seen a judge in court with a do-rag on, have you? There's a time and place for everything. Boy, if I ever seen a doctor sagging when I walked in, he'd go check my heart, I'd go out run from that rascal. Dude say, hey, what's up, man? How your heart? Hold on, man, let me check your heart. Well, hey, I seen one of them rascals down here. I mean a grown. Look here. Now I'm off the track. I'm gonna get back on. But it's good to talk about it because it looks silly. You look stupid. Just absolutely stupid. Act like you got no sense whatsoever to be walking around with your pants down. It ought to be against the law. I wish they would let me go to legislature. I'd like to write this law. Anybody I see their boxers or their underwear, when they could put a belt on and pull your pants up, you go to jail. I would arrest you. I would just say, let me be the arresting, the sagger. I arrest all of them. Send them to take them straight to jail. Joker, look, now I've seen one right down. This guy, he's 40, 50 years old, man. I mean, maybe 60. Now, knew you two showing up too old to be acting. Ain't nobody want to see your stanky. I mean, praise the mighty name of Jesus. But it's crazy. Me and Sharon was looking at him. Look at him. And the dude, like, he was we was eating Chinese food, me and my wife. And then she tell you, this is the truth. And me and her both were like, this is just don't make sense, this brother. I mean, his pants were right here. And his feet were like this. And he's trying to get food from the buffet, but he had one hand with the... I wanted to go over there and say, pull your pants up. You ain't got to look silly. Make us look bad, too. I mean, African Americans. Not racism thing, but I'm just saying some stuff just don't even make us look good. I have no racism in me, but I do love my people. I am an African American. You should love yourself, your race. You should love all races. But we look silly. How many of y'all want a law rope? They see one in Florida. Good for Florida. I hope the state of Texas write one. And then I go, I said, Q, can I ride with you? Let me pull all of them over. Put the light on him. Dude, walk down there, shine a light on him. Toot, 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 toot. Pull over. Pull him up. What's wrong? I'm finished.
It just don't make sense.
I know I'm sure the old folk talked about me. I had a bad afro, boy. I could plait my own hair at night. I mean, yeah, this I'm going off. I'm gonna plait my own hair at night, and then and that morning you take the plait down, and go, whoosh, and you shape that thing, and then you put the pick in your head and hold it, walk around with it. We didn't have to, but we did walk different. We did, and I know the older folk were talking. Look at a little man. I know my mom and them tell me, look at the man. Ain't nothing but manish. Yeah, what's up? I holler at Sharon like to say, wait, babe, what's up, man? Got my pick in my hand, my bell bottom on, platforms. I mean, y'all know about them platforms. Bro, Children wrote platforms. I didn't know, Bro, Children, you wore platforms. Bro, Children said he had some platforms on that back in the 50s, wasn't it? But the fads come and go. That's my point. Yeah, I know. I had a fad, too. They got a new one because they got these skinny pants. They look the leg that's so tight on. They go straight down. And I just it looked like Urkel. I mean, I didn't. That's not for me. But I prefer the skinny pants looking like Urkel than somebody pulling. You know, Urkel. I mean, they show their side. Their pants don't go. We could just call that flood. And we laughed at folk like that. Now it's normal. I mean, you cool if you got some penny loafers on and you flooding. What we call flooding. You ain't got to worry about high water. Walk right through it. I see brothers like that, man. I see some brothers like that right here in the room. You got them colored socks on. I never wear pink socks. These brothers wearing pink stripes. Look at here, pink and striping and blue. That's a fad. How many of y'all got that? How many of y'all wearing them pink striped socks? Brother old guy, he wear all kind of stuff. I mean, never seen a man with them kind of, the man of many colors. Color socks. Amen. Well, but that's a fad. That's a new thing. Hey, y'all agree with that? New thing. It's new. Yeah. Not for me, but it's new. That's good, wasn't it? I kind of eased it up because I fussed at y'all real hard about being late. So everybody that came here about 9:20, if you took communion in the foyer, you'd leave late. So I know they wasn't feeling me right about that. So my little laugh to help you take the edge off. But I've been late before. Ain't none. All of sin and what? Falling. But we don't have to keep doing that, do we? Did I do all right? Did I ease it back up for you? Did I talk about you? Yes, I did. Now let's get back serious. Go back to the text. But that is something, ain't it? I'm sagging pain. Okay, clear your head, Brother Brooks. A new commandment.
I give unto you. That ye love that one another. What?
That you love one another. Now, this new commandment is not love. It's not love. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, look at this. Master, asked, verse 36.
Which is the great commandment in the law?
So this Old Testament law he's asking about. Now, which... So under the old law, which was the great commandment? Look what he says.
Jesus said unto him.
Jesus said, "Now,
thou shalt love the Lord thy God."
Love is not new.
With all thy heart.
Love God, he said. That was under the old. Love him with all your heart.
And with all soul, thy soul. And with all thy mind.
And he said, this is the first
and great commandment.
So love was the first and great commandment. Love God. Then the second one.
Is like unto it.
To loving God is like just like love. What one is to God. Love your neighbor.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
As much as you do yourself. Notice what he says.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
The law, love is not new here. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give. So what is the new commandment? That you love who?
One another.
Now this is a lesson to the church. It's not about loving the world. It's saying loving one another. Then he's telling them, the disciples, around the table, The commandment new I'm giving you all is that you love everybody at this table. You love them how? That
ye have
also love them as I have
you.
Love you.
First John, love one another.
In 1 John 3:16. See, the love Jesus is talking about has never been seen before. It's never been seen before. They still don't understand exactly what he's talking about. Love them. What? He said, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a new. I'm not going to be here long. You're going to want to be, but you can't go right now. You can't go where I'm going. And he's going to tell me chapter 14, don't be troubled by the fact that I'm coming back. But right now, you got some work to do. So he said, now, he's saying, look here. I'm giving you all at the table. All these were disciples. These weren't Jews. These were disciples. And he said, you love one another as I love you. John 15, 13, he said, greater love had no man than this than he laid down his life for who? His friend. So he said, the greatest demonstration of love is when Jesus laid down his life for the friends. Now, in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, John writes then, he said, hereby perceive we
the love of
here's
God.
How we can comprehend the love of God is because
he laid down his life
that's
for us.
Jesus. Here's how we comprehend love is that Jesus laid down or gave his life for us. Now he says, and Jesus' new command was, is that we were to lay down our lives for our friends. This was a new expression of love, one that had never been seen before. They will never know what he means until they see him on the cross. After they see what he goes through, he's saying to them, if I love you through hardship, through pain, through trials, through tribulations, and you see me suffer, then you suffer for each other. He's telling his disciples that you guys are going to go through some pain because you are my disciples. But the way the people going to know you is because you got a love that others don't have. Understand this, church. In consideration for love, God expects us to love each other. Love each Christian. I'm telling every brother and sister in Christ. Love like this is a sacrificial love, meaning that it hurts me sometimes to love you. My love requires me to take the pain that come with it. The love I have for you means I love you when you don't love me back. The love means I love you when you're unlovable. I love your soul. It doesn't matter where you slap me, whether you spit in my face or cuss me out. I'm in love with your soul. His love was for the soul saving of mankind. And that's why the church is so precious that we are to love one another. We are to love to the point of dying for each other. He said, what, Brother Brooks? I wouldn't die for this soul. Don't get a Christian. I know that's because you don't love your soul or theirs. Yeah, you got to love you. You got to love your soul. Jesus loved the souls. That's what it was, y'all. This type of love is not just an attitude. It will be in practice, treatment, and seen in actions. I know pain will come in life, y'all. Pain is going to come. Pain came to Jesus. Pain going to come to these disciples. All of them going to die as martyrs. There's only one that's recorded according to church history. Eusebius and Josephus and the Jewish historian say Peter and the rest of them died horrible deaths. Amen. John died of old age. They call him John the Revelator. The revelation was by Jesus. John just wrote it. Talking about the book of Revelation. On the Isle of Patmos, they say, John, the only one died of old age. The rest of them died this cruel death. So he's telling them, y'all, love each other enough to die for each other. You know, I wrote an article the other night, when I do my best writing. And I'm going to turn it into a sermon. But it's called PTSD. A man, a woman with PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorders. What causes Christians to stop speaking? Because they've been traumatized by something. And when somebody pulled the scab off the sore, cold blood run out. Not warm blood, cold blood. Cold enough to not speak. Cold enough to shut you down, shut you out. Because I'm hurting. The pain. I'm so traumatized by the pain that is post-traumatic response. Y'all want to hear the sermon? Not today. But what I'm saying is that these men would have post-traumatic experiences. They would be traumatized by what they would witness. And then they would have to protect one another. Some of us are so traumatized that when a sister or brother do something to us, we can't love them. We can't speak. We can't talk. We can't stand them. Because what they done traumatized me. You are nothing but somebody with spiritual PTSD. But notice, no heaven for you. No heaven. This is the lesson he's getting ready to teach them. The new commandment is that you love your brother like I loved you. Some of you all need to repent of not speaking or communicating with another precious soul that Jesus died for. And the violation would be the new commandment that he gave. See, Brother Brooks, how can you love somebody who hurt you like Jesus loved those who crucified him? Nobody crucified you. Ain't nobody beat you with no whip. Ain't nobody spit in your face. They just said something behind your back. And here you are so traumatized that you dismiss that person as if they have no soul. Folk who go through traumas in their marriages and relationships, where you just dismiss the person as if they have no value. Because you traumatized. The love he talking about is that we can get through trauma. We should not be post-traumatic people. The trauma was on Jesus, the Christ. And when we see the Christ being traumatized, we can bank it. We can love. We can love, we can reciprocate, we can understand. We ain't confused about everything we're doing. It ain't just about you. It ain't just about who you are and what you're doing. It ain't just your world. This is a world of believers who the Lord gave his life for. And some of you, it's your own mamas and daddies that you ain't speaking to. Your own brothers and sisters, your own siblings, you so traumatized by something they done that you won't even speak to them. This is the kind of love he's talking about. It doesn't matter if they whip you with a flagellum. You love them like I loved you. He's telling these disciples that. Peter's going to respond. Look at Peter's response. He like some of y'all looking at me right now. Because I'm talking directly to you. Been in the church 30 years. 40 years, still can't stand somebody in the church. All because of something that happened. Amen. Well, Peter responds to the comments of Jesus.
Simon Peter said unto him.
He says to him,
Lord, where goest thou?
Peter confused. Where you going? That's why you got to be in the room to feel the power of what he's teaching them. And to understand what he's leaving them with. He said, Peter said, I don't get it. Where are you going? Then he says, answer, whether I go,
thou canst not
you
follow
can't
me
follow
now.
Me, Peter, but thou
shalt follow me.
You're going to do it later, afterwards. Then he says,
Peter said unto him,
Lord,
why can I follow thee now?
Why not? Peter was like, man, this is a trip. So everything had to trip him out. Peter was tripped over Judas. Somebody going to do what? Betray us? Who is it?
Remember, Peter was the one begging to jump. Said, man, ask him who it is in the room. And now Peter's saying, Lord, hold on. What you talking about? We can't go with you. So Peter's like, man, Peter, you got to go and be Peter. Peter's like, man, hold on. This is the same guy that turned water to wine. This is the same guy that walked on water. This is the same guy I was walking to, and he told me to keep my eye on him, and I was walking on water. I never thought I could. Here's the same man. Peter said he took two fish and five loaves of bread, or five fish, whichever way you go, and he said 5,000. Y'all know how it goes. But anyway, Peter said, this is the same guy who walked up there and told Lazarus to get up from the grave, and Lazarus came up. And Peter had seen all this stuff. And then he said, man, I'm not trying to go nowhere. He said, where are you going? Peter told him, what you mean? We can't go. I can't go. No, you can't go. Why I can't go now? That's where all of our lives should be. Where we want to go to heaven now. Why I can't go now? How many of y'all want to go this morning? Hello? Y'all, we talking about you want to go to heaven. Why y'all want to go this morning? Get on up out of here. How many of y'all want to go this morning? Tonight. Tomorrow. Peter said, I want to go right now. And ain't none of us on the now time, are we? Everybody wanting to live just a little longer, Lord. Just give me a little longer. Let me close this lesson. Y'all see Peter? And then Peter started talking, look, hold on. I think Peter's kind of trying to make some assumptions. Like, man, something's going to happen here. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to let him know real quick. I'm with you to the end, man. I'm riding with you. How you say it, Kai? I'm what? Ride or die? Now, what's another one? I'm down with you. Yeah, they come on, Kai, man. Don't be leaving me hanging when I need some street slang stuff. You do it. Yeah, Kai, one of the best ones I met. Kai, y'all see how Kai scrolled here when he first came? He's wearing them. He done transformed, man. He can't. Yeah, Kai done transformed the suits. Stand up, Kai. Let me see. Come on, Kai. It's part of the thing, okay? It's part of how we learn, teach people. But Kai had that. I told him yesterday, I said, man, you one of the best slangers I ever. He be slanging. I mean, slang me some of that stuff my way so I can say. So Peter said, I'm down with you, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to roll with you. I'm riding with you. That's what he said. I'm going to die for you. That's what he said. And then he says what?
I will lay down my life for thy sake.
I will die for you. Read.
Jesus answered him.
Then Jesus come back and respond.
Would thou lay down thy life for my sake?
You gonna lay down so you saying to me, Peter, right here, you saying you gonna die for me? And then what happens?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Jesus said, truly, truly, I'm gonna tell you this.
The cock shall not crow.
You getting ready to deny me.
So the cock won't
the rooster.
Christ.
That what you're talking about. The rooster won't crow. The rooster shall crow. What he said, the shall. Not crow till thou hast denied. And so Peter going to deny. And when the rooster crow, Peter going to remember this comment right here. Peter tell you, he wasn't down. We don't ever going to tell you. Everybody that say they down with you, they riding with you. They ain't riding with you, man. There's some haters on the other side. Yeah, they don't love you all like that. Don't feel everybody. You feel me? Don't be feeling everybody, because everybody ain't feeling you, man. I'm telling you, when we're a Christian, we're supposed to love them and ride with them till we die, amen, wall. Y'all can say amen, because you just need to repent of the people you've been treating wrong, the people in the church you can't stand, because you ain't going to heaven. Amen. Y'all, Peter, I'm down with you. I'm going to ride with you. Turn to John 21:15. Jesus teach him a lesson. Notice in John 21:15, afterward, let's look forward after Peter denied him three times, they start cussing and everything. Peter was cussing everything. He talking about I'm down with you. He started cussing when the folk told him. You know, now later on, John 21:15 says, so when they had dined,
Jesus said to Simon Peter.
Jesus said, you have another meal with him. And then he started talking to Peter again. He said, now watch how you do, Peter. He said, Peter. He said,
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?
Now, Jesus started kind of quizzing him. Say, you love me? Peter kind of calmly, you love me more than these? Peter answered,
Lord,
you know,
I know that I love you.
I got you. I love you. You know, you know I love you. You know I love you. You know, and people say that to y'all. Do you love me? Yeah, man, you know I love you. Just as crooked as they can be. You can't wait to talk about you sooner. They want, man, you know I love you. Like, talk is cheap. Amen. I tell you the only thing, but when a person hurt somebody, talk is cheap. Amen. Actions show you love. Amen. Talk is what? Cheap.
He said, feed my lamb.
He said unto him,
did God, Jesus, come back to a tested in mind. Tested in mind. See, that's what I like about psychological stuff. You can test the mind of somebody. Just keep talking to them. Said, okay, then help me understand this. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. You know, it ain't this thing like we see today. You know, when the young folks there, see what I'm saying? They ain't saying nothing. I can't see nothing you said because I don't know what you just said. It's rather stirring when they got on national TV, you know, what's up? You know, see what I'm saying? I can't see what I'm saying. See what I'm saying? No, I don't see what you're saying. They didn't teach you that in English. They taught you to communicate. We're about to see nothing. We're about to hear something. Come on, see what I'm saying. You feel me? No, I don't feel nothing. But I'm on them thugs today. I'm thug motivating. Thug demotivating one for them. Yeah, well. What's that new rapper? That's a new rapper album. Boy. He really showing up hitting them hard. Q, you listen to them rappers? You don't know which new one is? What's that new rapper? DJ? Yeah, nah, that's an old rapper. You ain't been listening to rapper lately. He talking about Young Thug. And Young Thug ain't new. I hear about Young Thug 10 years ago. They got some new. But Tim, which one is that new one? Tim, now you know you listen to Tim talking about, I ain't listening to no rapper. You know what? What's the name of it? Andrew? Y'all ain't gonna help me up on the front pew? What's the new one? Who is it? Somebody hitting one of them sisters. That's a sister in the back. Man, sister back. I'm talking about Dre. Dre old too, ain't it? You ain't been listening to no new stuff. Yeah, I'm new. But one of my point is these rappers are thug motivating, you know. They motivate them to look like them, talk like them, act like them. That's why they got their pants down. That's why they say all that crazy stuff and all that slang. Because they motivate. See, I ought to put some Brother Brooks in your CD during the week. Amen. Take Thug Jung, whatever. What you say it was, Sister Dre? Mafia. Used to be one called Mafia. And who? How you know, sis? You're talking about you seen him. My name is Guinea. Guinea the pig? Like that, Guinea? G-E-N-I-E? Yeah, he goes with Lil Wayne. Oh. Now I understand. That's Lil Wayne's son-in-law. Yeah, thank you, sister. At least you had the courage to admit you listening to it. But, oh, she listened. But what is my point? My point is, you know, these guys are motivating these guys. Here's Jesus saying, hey, you know, you say that. You say you love me. And then he said, here's how I'm going to know.
He said to him again the second time.
Come back and ask him again.
Son of Jonas.
Lovest thou me?
Lovest thou me?
He said, him?
Unto him. Yeah, Lord. God knows that I love thee.
You know I love you. Now, he putting some emphasis on it. Now, he kind of getting disturbed. I'm getting crazy. No, somebody, you asked me the same question twice. And then he says, okay, this time feed my sheep. Take care of the little ones. Now take care of the big ones. Third time they come. Then he says to him,
the third time,
Simon.
Son of Jonas.
Son of Jonas, that loves thou me? Peter was, he's upset. He grieved.
Peter was grieved.
Because he said to him the third time. You're asking me three times the same question. And he said, Lord,
thou knowest
you know
things.
I love you. So it's different this time. He said, Lord, you know I do love you. You know everything. And then he said,
thou
Jesus said, feed my sheep.
Thee.
Then he said, here comes the lesson I want to give you. He said, verily, verily, Jesus, after disturbing him to see if you really love me, he said this, get ready. He said, I say unto you, when you were young, you didn't understand in
thou
that room.
Thyself.
You didn't understand younger in your younger Christian life in that room when I told you to love one another. You didn't understand what I was talking about. Thou girdest thyself and walkest well thou wouldest. You was in control then. But when you shall be old, your arms going to be stretched on the cross. Your hands and another will gird you, hang you up on that cross. That's what he said. He said, and carry thee with
it.
You don't want to go where you're getting ready to go. You don't know what I'm talking about. You didn't know what I was talking about in that room. I told y'all to love one another, to understand. He was telling people there that you didn't understand what I was telling you in that upper room. But what I was telling you, to follow me, you're going to have to come later. But to follow me, you're going to have to die, Peter. This he spake.
Signifying by what death
he should
glorify God.
Peter was hung upside down according to Jewish history. He was hung upside down. Peter did not want to be hung the same way his Lord was, but he had to die along with the other apostles. All of them died cruel deaths.
And that's what he was telling them in that upper room. So you go back. You look at Jesus, told him, where I am, you cannot come. And he's telling us today where we are, John 8:21. If you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. However, all of us must have a crucifixion. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and the verse number 3. We would know that we are disciples when we love the church enough to die to save anyone. That's how we know we are disciples of Christ. And John, in Romans 6, until we cannot, only way you can be a follower of Christ is that you got to have the death like Peter. Peter had to die on the cross. That's a physical death, but we have to die the spiritual death. In Romans chapter 6 and the verse 3, the Bible said, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. There it is. Therefore, we are buried in him. It happens in baptism. In baptism. Into death. Read.
That like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
even so we also shall walk in newness of life.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death,
we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice this, what he said.
Knowing this, that our old man crucified with
him. There it is right there. Peter had to get crucified. Jesus got to get crucified. And every Christian got to be crucified. All of us got to have a crucifixion. And the crucifixion occurs in baptism. Knowing this, that we're crucified with him in baptism. So baptism is where our crucifixion takes place. Then we become disciples of Christ. And then we are to love one another. Why? Because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this. Crucifixion. By this love will men know that we are his disciples. That's the lesson. How are he going to know? By the way we love one another. If I love my soul, then I'm going to be crucified with Christ in baptism. And then I'm going to love the next soul that he was crucified for. That's what God wants from us. That's what we got to do to be Christian. That's what we got to do to get to heaven. We got to love one another, even when they don't love us, even when they're unlovable, even if they spit on us, even if they slap us, even if they give us pain, even if they drive nails in my right hand, even if they drive nails in my left hand, we got to love the enemy like Jesus loved the one who nailed the nails in his hand. And so if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian today, you need to know that God gave his son for you. You should love him because of what he done. He give you a chance to know what that love feels like. And you must understand he was suffering on the cross. I've been talking about that all morning, how he suffered on the cross. It was the cross, church cross. We should be a cross congregation. Everybody here should. Anybody come here ask you anything about us. What we are is cross-focused. We are cross-eyed Christians. We are cross-focused. Cross is nothing but L-O-V-E. Cross is love. It's the greatest love. We love God. We love the cross. We love Jesus. We love one another because we are cross-eyed. We are cross-eyed. What kind of Christians are we, y'all? We cross-eyed. We look at nothing but cross. And when we see the cross, we see no enemy. When we see the cross, we love a brother. He's not nobody bad. He's a cross-eyed brother. I can love him. But this men and women will know, truly, these are the children of God. Truly, these are Christians. How you know? Because they love one another like Christ loved them. Amen. By this. Oh, me and know that we are his disciples. How many of y'all can love me like that? Amen. Can y'all love me like that? Can y'all love me like that? Amen. Don't lie in the church building. Do you love me like that? You got to learn to be a disciple. You got to love me like that. I got to love you like that. Some of y'all, I said I had to pray about it. You don't pray about some stuff. You just do it. You just stop saying, I'm praying, and love. Amen, somebody. Life ain't promised past tomorrow, past right now, y'all. We got love. Ain't nobody in this room that I hate. Nobody. Nobody I hate. Nobody I hate. This is a growing thing, y'all. We got to love. Learn to love. Grow to love. What we're leaving with today. By this, shall all men love. No, that you are my what? How? By loving, the new commandment is that you love me, and y'all love you, and I do love you. Do you love me? Amen. This is the only way people are going to know that you're Christ's disciple. He told Peter, he said, you ready? Peter said, I'll go. He said, follow me. It means follow me to the cross. That's where we headed this morning. We followed him to the cross. And on that path, there's nothing but a trail of tears. It's tears to the cross. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. What kind of congregation are we? Cross-eyed. Don't let nobody come here and change us. If we stay focused on the cross, we can't go wrong. We'll love one another. We'll love one another because we see our Savior loved us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, that gospel story I just talked about, how he died on the cross, shed that pain, went through that painful death for you, you got to hear that with your ears and believe it with your heart, your mind, with all of your heart. Acts 15:7, repent of your sins. Repent right where you are. Say, man, I can't leave like this. I need to be a cross-eyed Christian. Yes, you do. But repent. Don't leave like that. Be washed in the blood. You can be washed this morning in the blood of the Lamb. Take that crucifixion. You come an old man, leave a new man, leave a new woman. You rise to walk in newness of life, a new woman, a new man, a new husband, a new wife, amen, a new parent, child to your parent, a new man, a woman. You do that when you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, will baptize you this morning for the remission, for the forgiveness, Acts 2:38, of your sins, amen, and then you are a child of God. What gonna make me come? The fountain of blood that flowed. It was free. It didn't cost you nothing. It cost him his life. It's a fountain of blood that's free. It's for you and it's for me. For Christians, we come asking for forgiveness. We confess to the injured person that I did you wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. The injured person for the Christian is God. When we sin, we injure. God says, only godless sorrow work at repentance. When you're sorry you did it to me, you'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I confess my fault. I ask for forgiveness. That's the best you can do when you injured God, is ask for forgiveness. Anybody here injured God today through sin? You need to ask for forgiveness. Never seen it like this myself. PTSD done something to me. It's an injury. It's pulling the gun, shooting them, and want to take the bullet back, but you can't. You just see him bleeding, cold blood, looking at you. Why you shoot me? Why you shoot me? But they can live through it if they see the cross. When you've been shot, when you injured God, you say you can live through it. Just say, Lord, I sin, and I ask for forgiveness. I repent. I did wrong. I can't undo it, but I can be forgiven. Amen. And God do what's impossible for men. He says, I'll remember no more. But because of human memory, we have to live with what we've done because it keeps us from doing it again. That's why repentance is in order. Amen? By this shall all men know that you are my disciple when you love one another as I have loved you. Do we got something to work on? How many of y'all got something to work on this morning? So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to come down. We want to baptize you this morning. We want you to get your new start, your new beginning. And then if you are a Christian and you need prayer, come on, let us pray with you. If you need to make that confession today. Make that confession. And then God will forgive you. Amen. You got to admit it. You got to repent and you got to confess to him and he'll help you through it. Amen. The fountain is free. It's for you and it's me. Why don't you come as together we stand.